Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Music Therapy, Strengthening Our Bond Through What My Child Loves, and features Megan Richardson in an interview with Alex Ruffner.
All right. Hello, I'm Alex, an assistant editor with the Imagine eJournal. Welcome, Megan. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Imagine podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So to start, can you share just a little bit about yourself and your connection to working with music therapy?
Yeah, so my name's Megan. I have a two-year-old son now, and he was born at 28 weeks. So we got to connect with Alex through the NICU doing music therapy there to help him.
Perfect. Why do you think involving parents in music therapy sessions with young children is important?
I think for me, it was more important about the bonding experience, and it's something that my son really loves. So it was a way to incorporate something he loves while still bonding with him.
In your experience, what are some of the most impactful ways that parents can support their child's progress in music therapy? And I know that you all did other therapies too, so this can kind of be an overarching, like throughout all of the therapies.
I love the repetition of songs. I think that helps him the most. His favorite song's Wheels on a Bus. And he will just sit there now and be like, wheels on bus, round, round. So it's that it's exposing them to the language of the songs, but also giving it to a way that they can remember it. So.
I know that you all did a really great job of like continuing those songs over like at home. With the videos that you would send me of him like playing on the floor, and sometimes the dog would come up, and so that's good to hear that the repetition kind of helped you also learn the songs and remind you of things you could do at home. Can you share an example of a memorable moment where your involvement in music therapy made a significant difference in Carter's progress?
I know for me, it was while we were in the NICU and we were doing a session with you, just being able to touch him and see that he's not holding his breath or his heart rate's not going down. And he is just like so calming, and it's calming for me as well. Just being able to hold him and bond with him and sing with him. I think that was the biggest moment for me. So.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times, like, just the simple act of like seeing him do something well can be really great for you too.
And getting him to play with his instruments later on as he grew up and stuff like that, just carrying those songs that we've been teaching him for months and months and months. And now he's finally like doing it himself shows really big progress for him.
Awesome. What are some of the challenges you have encountered with your engagement throughout therapies, and how have you worked to overcome them?
I think the biggest challenge we've seen is just how best to teach him how to do it. Just see what's best, what's going to soak in, what's going to help him learn the skill that we want him to learn. So it kind of took a little bit of trial and error on some things, but we've noticed that songs and like playing with objects and stuff like that really helps him just soak it in and be able to learn that language.
Yeah, that can be super tricky because every kid's different. And so for a therapist, they might try something that worked with another kid that was similar to him, but it didn't work. So you kind of have to like figure out where to go from there.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of trial and error, but you know, eventually you'll find something that works for your kid.
So. Yeah. How do you think cultural values and traditions, or even physical differences like Carter's hearing loss, influence the way that families engage with therapies?
I think with his hearing loss, you know, I'm a lot more like, oh, we got to do this to make sure that he is getting the language and is developing the way he should, because it's a little bit harder for him because of the hearing loss. But also I think it's really important. I mean, with our next kid, we're not going to be changing anything that we didn't do with Carter, because we know that's going to help her with her language as well. So even though he has hearing loss, it probably won't change anything if she doesn't. So that we know, like, hey, this is great for language development. This is great for just physical development. And we're going to keep doing this kind of stuff for her as well.
Yeah, that's really cool that you'll be able to carry over some of those techniques from Carter and the way that he grew up to your new
Yeah.
one now.
And as simple as just talking to him, I've seen a lot of therapists say, like, oh, if only they talk to their kids more, that would help. And just simply talking to him, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so a lot of days it's just me and Carter, and he's the only one I get to talk to some days. So just like talking to him, be like, hey, mama's gonna go eat some lunch, just exposing them to different things, like singing songs while we eat, stuff like that really helps them along.
Having those long, meaningful conversations with your 2-year-old.
Yes, and they may not understand what you mean, but they are soaking it up and they know exactly that, hey, mama or dad is saying something to me.
Love it.
So.
What role does collaboration between therapists and parents play in achieving your therapeutic goals?
I think it involves a lot of parent involvement. With therapies, you're only there for maybe an hour or so. They may only see you an hour a week. You're there all the time. So you know exactly what your kid's doing, what they need to be doing, setting up goals and be like, hey, we're gonna work on like getting 2 words out of him today. So that you keep going like red bus or whatever it is. Just working towards those goals that you and your therapist have set together, but knowing that a lot relies on what you're doing at home because the therapist can only work so far into the kid's life. So, and if you're not keeping up with therapies at home, then it's not just not going to work by only doing them 1 hour a week. So.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Like parents really taking that responsibility on their shoulders to help carry over some of those techniques. And from the therapist's viewpoint, like having that trust in your families that they are going to continue to do that so you can continue to make progress. And
Yeah, because I know it frustrates some therapists. We've talked about that with some of his therapists of like, if only the parents would just do like what we're doing in therapy because they do so well in therapy and then they go home and nothing else happens.
right.
So just being able to carry that over is like huge for them.
Yeah. For parents who might be hesitant or unsure about their involvement in music therapy, what advice or encouragement can you offer?
I think the biggest thing for music therapy was like just at least for me, was like the shyness of just singing. In like it was just me, you, and my husband, and it was a little awkward and not knowing what to do, but just being okay with it, knowing that this is going to help your kid in whatever way you want it to be. Just being there, letting them hear your voice and everything will help them along, and it will carry over to later because we've been singing all the songs you taught us for over 2 years now, so and he still sings them all the time, so
I love it. I'm sure it makes it worth
yes.
it to know that you kind of getting out of your comfort zone has allowed Carter to like come into his own voice and sing those
Yes.
songs for you now.
Yeah, and he loves them. He's like, I love this song, we sing it every night to go to bed, and we have a routine where we just listen to songs, and it's okay if you're being funny and jump around and play, that helps their development too. So seeing them see you have fun and maybe just jump out of your comfort zone will help them as well.
Yeah, I like that you said just to have fun with it, not take yourself too seriously and just kind of get out of your head.
Yeah, I think it's also important that you're not just so focused on the therapy part of it, that you're just kind of going with the flow, letting them lead for you so that you're able to do what they want to do and not feel like it's so forced on them.
Looking ahead, do you see what do you see as the future of parent involvement in music therapy, or what would you like to see more of?
I would love to see more music classes. I know you teach one. So more music classes like that where moms and dads and parents can just get together and talk and sing with their kids, bond with their kids, and just seeing how other parents are interacting and maybe be like, hey, I can do this, I would love to see that more. So
Yeah, so not
just
just interaction with the therapist, but also interaction with other parents in that group setting.
Yeah, I think that's super important because I know it helped me so much. There was one kid in our music class where he was just kind of right ahead of Carter, so they were starting food and then we started food. So I was able to just talk to them and be like, hey, does this work for you? Okay, we'll try this. So, and just being able to bounce off ideas and but also using music to help guide those ideas too.
So we just have one question left. Is there any particular piece of advice or message that you'd like to share with our listeners about the power of parent involvement in music therapy?
I think the biggest advice I would give is don't be afraid to use it. I think a lot of people is like, oh, I've seen the same Wheels on the Bus song 50 times today, I'm done, you know. But being okay with like, hey, this is what my kid really wants. This is, you know, we're bonding, we're enjoying, we're exposing him to the language that he needs. Just being okay to do that and maybe change it up and be silly and do a dance with it or emotions and doing that kind of stuff would really, I think, help children grow and develop more by just being there with them to sing. So,
That's perfect advice. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for sharing your time and experiences and expertise as a parent that has sat in many music therapy sessions.
yes.
Your insights will inspire our listeners and contribute to the ongoing conversation around parent involvement in music therapy. And you're always such a good advocate for us. I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, of course, I love it.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2025.